Family, I've had to think long and hard about whether or not to do this video essay. I thought to do it yesterday, but it's just one of those facts that there are some things the black folks don't tend to handle very well. Sports, entertainment's one of them, but anything that even smacks of conspiracy, black people sometimes get a little carried away. So I had to think before I decided whether or not I wanted to get out here with this. Now, with Jeffrey Epstein's death, a lot of people are trying to very hurriedly drive nails into the story and say, well, there's nothing to see here. And I know that yesterday on my Twitter page, I said that I was having the last word about it and wasn't going to say anything else. But there's something that I want to speak about that Jeffrey Epstein can be used as an entree for, and that is how organized power protects itself. Jeffrey Epstein was a man whose money was made in ways that we still don't understand. There are people who he was connected to, but it's still unclear exactly where his money came from. And as the old saying goes, behind every great fortune lies an even greater crime. But when you look at Jeffrey Epstein's past business associates and the men who he had business partnerships with, you see, a bunch of them are in federal prison now for Ponzi schemes, money laundering, and various other forms of financial chicanery. But it's Jeffrey Epstein's story personally that's the most interesting. Now, according to the Daily Beast, and I'm still trying to figure out exactly where they got this information from, it's been reported and echoed by Forbes this a month ago. They were talking about the reason why Alex Acosta, the former U.S. attorney in Miami who gave Jeffrey Epstein that sweetheart plea deal back in 2007, when he was being interviewed for a job in the Trump administration, the issue of Jeffrey Epstein came up. How could it not? Jeffrey Epstein had been connected to Donald Trump very briefly. Now, again, still trying to figure out exactly what the source is, other than the reporter saying she heard it from a former senior administration official. But according to the story, Alex Acosta said, "I was told Epstein belonged to intelligence and to leave it alone." The Labor Department had no comment when they were asked about it. Now, as you're aware, as one of the new voices of black media, I am very, very loath to be repeating any sort of information that I don't actually have sourcing for. So this is the reason why I say take it with a grain of salt, but given the how strange it is that Jeffrey Epstein had been on the hook for being part of a pedophile ring 12 years ago, and yet this man gets a sweetheart deal, and nobody seems to want to talk about it, and just the strangeness of the legality. Not only was he taking a plea for himself, he was also accepting a plea for all of the people who might have been his co-conspirators, which, by the way, the law doesn't allow you to do. You can take a plea deal for yourself, but you're not allowed to take a plea deal on behalf of a third party. Everybody's got to basically take a plea for themselves, but it's a matter of the federal government was making it. They were going overboard to say, not only are we not going to do anything to you, we're not going to even pursue this issue. That's a little bit too convenient. You would think the media would be all over it, but they're not. They're not asking the real questions. And it's obvious that Epstein was being protected. He was being protected by a lot of people because he had given a lot of money, but he was also very useful. The more that you look at Jeffrey Epstein, kind of reminds you of Howard Hunt. E. Howard Hunt was one of the Watergate conspirators, and truth be told, he was essentially a bag man for Nixon in all but name. He may not necessarily have been running around with the bags full of cash. Hunt himself had received money from the Nixon administration in return for his silence. But when you look at Jeffrey Epstein, he seems to be one of those guys who, when it comes to money and powerful men in Washington, it ain't long before the intelligence services are not very far behind. That's what the whole Iran-Contra thing was about: arms for hostages, but also drugs for money, in order to try to stop the spread of communism in Central America. So the ties between money and the political class are just money, the political class, and the intelligence services, they go hand in hand. You really can't have any one without the other two, because they all protect each other. And speaking of protection, Jeffrey Epstein was also being protected by the Fourth Estate. It was the reason that the ties to him and intelligence, if to the extent that they do exist, and I would say we should put an asterisk beside it, because we haven't sourced this ourselves, but it all does make sense. It certainly has the ring of truth to it. It certainly seems plausible. And considering the highly strange circumstances under which the late Mr. Epstein has expired, yeah, it looks like somebody decided they had him fitted for a toe tag and they wanted it tied. And why is the white media not asking the tough questions about Epstein? Why weren't they asking them 12 years ago? Well, look at who it is who are his close pals. Mort Zuckerman, the former media mogul, billionaire, former owner of the New York Daily News and The Atlantic. Bill Barr, the current United States Attorney General. Bill Barr's family was friends with Jeffrey Epstein. Bill Barr's own father got Epstein a job at a prestigious prep school in New York. That's exactly what you want, by the way. You want a pedophile to have a job teaching children. I mean, what could possibly go wrong? Naturally, of course, Epstein was friends with Harvey Weinstein. Epstein would hold lavish dinners, and some of the guests at these dinners included Google co-founder Sergey Brin. Google is the parent company of YouTube. But also Jeffrey Bezos has been known to be in attendance at a Jeffrey Epstein party. Bezos, by the way, is the owner of Amazon, and he's also the owner of the Washington Post. And speaking of which, as the paper of record inside the Beltway, one would have thought that the Washington Post would have been the first to crack the Epstein story. But for some strange reason, they were the last to know. And this tardiness on their part, this their being completely out of the loop, doesn't seem to bother the crowd inside the Beltway. As the Washington Post reported last month, Epstein's little black book, his personal phone directory that his butler ran off with, was obtained by the FBI, and it listed the most influential men in media, Rupert Murdoch, but also former New York mayor and media mogul Michael Bloomberg. Though for some strange reason, Jeff Bezos's name never seems to make it into the Washington Post coverage of Jeffrey Epstein's high-powered pals. Gee, wonder why that is. You see the names here, big names, huge names, the biggest names. In other words, the men who own the agenda-setting media. Agenda-setting meaning this is what's supposed to dominate the news cycle today. When they talk about something, this is all planned out. It's a matter of what are we going to be focusing on so that nobody asks any questions about the real things that really matter. So that's the reason why the Washington Post wasn't terribly interested in him. Call it a tale of two Jeffs, Jeff Epstein and Jeff Bezos. One hand washes the other. And that's the reason why a newspaper down in Miami that most folks have never even heard of, that's the reason why they had to crack the story. Because the big boys who actually were the ones chasing Bill Clinton around and were the ones who hobnobbed with the movie stars and the tech moguls and the media moguls that Epstein was bumping elbows with, that media couldn't be bothered. This is how dangerous it is when you don't have a media that operates in your interest. This is how dangerous it is, family. You can have freaking pedophiles running around doing all sorts of God knows what, and you don't have a clue about them. Because the people whose job it's supposed to be to keep you informed, well, they're sleeping at the wheel. Forget about sleeping at the wheel. These guys have made up their minds they're going to protect the pedophiles and the predators. See, Shea Butter Twitter is not terribly interested in Jeff Epstein either. There's another group who ain't terribly interested in him. Because Shea Butter Twitter is nothing more than sock puppets for white supremacy. Their job is to help white supremacy keep all the attention on R. Kelly, on Bill Cosby, on Anthony Anderson. Keep it on black men. That way you never talk about Jeff Epstein. By the way, you notice how the clowns in the Shea Butter Twitter brigade, those morons never bothered to ask how many black girls did Jeff Epstein recruit for his child sex ring? How many black girls wound up finding themselves on Pedophile Island, finding themselves on the Lolita Express? How many of them wound up on Orgy Island having to service Jeffrey Epstein and his powerful friends? You notice how the Shea Butter clowns, the black feminists, have no interest in that whatsoever? None of them have asked how many black girls. You know damn well down there in Miami, which is part of the Deep South. Everybody thinks of Florida as East Coast, like it's not part of the South. It's part of the South, okay? You know damn well that there had to be at least a few black girls that Jeffrey Epstein and his pedophile pals got their clutches on. I'm interested in that. That's something I want to know about. What a shame the black feminists could give less than a damn. Ah, but they will be concerned about R. Kelly. That they will be concerned about. Because R. Kelly is the right color. And they know the white media, who they desperately want to pat on the head from, they're concerned about that too. Yeah, white supremacy relies on a lot of people to help protect the Jeff Epsteins. The intelligence services, allegedly. The white media, definitely. And their bootlicks within the black community, such as these black feminists, definitely. A lot of people helping to protect this guy, either directly or indirectly. So the white media wasn't about to put Jeffrey Epstein's name out there because they would actually have to investigate themselves. Even now, with the man only just a week ago having tried to kill himself, the question now becomes, did Jeffrey Epstein really try to kill himself a week ago, or had he barely survived a murder attempt? Well, even so, after that, with people saying, well, hey, the story is Jeff Epstein tried to kill himself. Well, he's on suicide watch, right? Wrong. No suicide watch for this guy. The most important federal case in the country. The most important high-profile federal inmate in the nation. And the government leaves him alone after he allegedly tried to kill himself. Only a fool wouldn't think that that's just a little bit suspicious. That a man this connected, and who had so much juice that he could get a massive child rape case against him to disappear 12 years ago, he would suddenly want to off himself. And no one's supposed to think that strange. It would have been one thing if he had died the first time. But he lived after the first alleged suicide attempt. He died after the second one. And already Rupert Murdoch's own Wall Street Journal, the voice of the investor class, is reporting that anyone who thinks Epstein was connected to the government is spreading conspiracy theories. Yeah, you know, just because he had Bill Clinton on his plane, and just because he was good friends with Bill, with the current attorney general's family, and just because he could get a federal case for running a pedophile ring squashed like that, but like the snap of his fingers, just because this man was connected to all kinds of government officials all over the world, including the Saudi royal family, that doesn't mean that he's connected to the government. He just has these guys on speed dial, literally. He has private retreats where he brings the most powerful men in the world, but that doesn't mean that he's connected to the intelligence services. I mean, surely he has no interest in the FBI, especially not when the Justice Department brought a pedophile case against him and he got it thrown out. That doesn't mean that he has any connections in the government, mind you. Even though the case was thrown out under the lightest of examinations, you look and go, wait a minute here. Some of this stuff has never happened in the history of jurisprudence in the U.S., but it happened for him. But that doesn't mean anything. This is what Rupert Murdoch's rag is saying. They even took out some time to lament the fact that all of these conspiracy theories will make it just that much harder for people to accept the official version when the facts all come to light. Now, ain't this the same Wall Street Journal who's always saying that the government can't do anything right and private industry can do it better? Yeah, but when it comes to the death of this former tool of white supremacy, all of a sudden, you know, we really ought to believe what the government tells us. The government wouldn't lie to us, and we don't need people out here trying to figure things out for themselves. You just need to believe what the government tells you. Yeah, that's because government is the shadow cast by business, and the Wall Street Journal happens to be the mouthpiece of business in America. This is how the Wall Street Journal is reporting on Jeffrey Epstein. That if you ask whether or not this man had connections with the government beyond merely hanging out with his fellow horn dogs, that apparently you're spreading conspiracy theories. Oh, and by the way, the Wall Street Journal also made it a point to point out that Twitter and Facebook and Google, they would be cracking down on people who would be spreading such irresponsible claims. Yeah, I'll bet they would. I'll bet that Google would love to shut up anyone talking about that. What's this conspiracy theory stuff? It ain't a theory if it's got something to substantiate it. But this is what power does. First, what power tries to do is they try to insulate those who have been beneficial to it. But there's a devil's bargain that you got to make with white supremacy. White supremacy has never had a tool that it has not eventually broken in the end. Either out of preference that the tool be destroyed so it can't be used against them in the future, or, as it would seem in the case of Jeffrey Epstein, out of necessity. Because that's how these things work. In the beginning, when it seemed that when nobody knew who Jeffrey Epstein was, and it would be easy to get a case against him to go away, because, I mean, who the hell cared, right? Well, white power looked and said, hey, we're going to protect ourselves by getting this case off of Jeffrey Epstein's back. But when the case just inconveniently reared its head, white power started looking at Jeffrey Epstein and going, you know what? Under the circumstances, old Jeffrey might be a lot more valuable to us dead than alive. And the white media is already trying to give itself permission to say, okay, nothing to see here. Sorry, the whole Jeffrey Epstein matter died with him. Well, what about his pals, his rich and famous pals? Well, you know, that's conspiracy theory stuff, you know. And Twitter's going to crack down on it, you know. And Facebook and Google, this conspiracy stuff has got to stop, you know. Yeah, I guess they figured they couldn't say Russian bots this time around. They couldn't say Russian bots. So instead, it's conspiracy theory. This is what happens when white power sees that it's losing its grip on power. When there's just too many people who are actually asking the tough questions, and you don't need ABC, NBC, and the Washington Post to actually do the job of journalism. What happens is other people start doing it. But the thing is, we don't want a situation where we are dependent on any white media outlet, no matter how occasionally useful they may seem. We want to be the ones who are in complete and thorough control of the information that we get. This is the reason why, black media, we're going to have to make sure that we start having people who can tell us things. That's going to be the next step, by the way. Having people who talk to us. Hey, if WikiLeaks can do it, if some of these other chumps can do it, we can do it too. It won't be easy. It won't be quick, but this has to be on the agenda. Because the problem happens to be that while we got the white supremacists who own the white media and their meat puppets, massive, big, fat, sloppy, obese meat puppets like the Shea Butter crowd, these clowns, they're going to be running interference for the Jeffrey Epsteins, and they're going to be trying to make some high-profile prosecutions of black people in the meanwhile to serve as a distraction from these guys. They get to kill two birds with one stone, protect a useful tool for white supremacy, and turn up and ratchet up the attacks on black people in the process. Yeah, they know exactly how to run a multi-pronged protection racket. Well, we don't have to play along with it. Understand how white power actually operates. Understand when you're talking about things that white power wants you to stop talking about. They're not even being subtle about this. Jeffrey Epstein, however, is merely the tip of a very large, very ugly iceberg. We're getting a glimpse into how it is that power operates. In his book, Blind Ambition, John Dean, who was the White House counsel for Richard Nixon during his second administration, John Dean talked about how after the Watergate break-in, Richard Nixon was trying to figure out how to make the Justice Department probe go away, how to get the special prosecutor in the Justice Department to back off. And what Nixon did was he contacted Richard Helms, who was the director of the CIA. And he made it very clear, hey, Ricky, I need you to do me a favor. As CIA director, could you please just tell the Justice Department that they really ought to let this Watergate thing go? You don't have to say why. You don't have to go into details. In fact, it's best that you don't. Just if you would be so kind as to call the Justice Department up and let them know, let the FBI know that they really might want to stop asking questions about Watergate. They really don't want to be quite so interested in it. And according to John Dean, Richard Helms sent back a response that said, if the White House tries to put blame for Watergate on the CIA, where it does not belong, then all sorts of dirty secrets are going to come out of the closet. And for those of you who studied the 70s, you know that in 1974, there was the Church Committee hearings. And the CIA's dirty laundry got aired in front of the world. And that was a couple of years after Nixon was run out of office. Rather, about the time he was being run out of office. But that's what the CIA director said. And John Dean, this is well documented, by the way. The Nixon administration was trying to figure out how to induce the CIA to get the FBI off of Nixon's back. How do I make this federal investigation by the FBI go away? How do I make this federal investigation go away? How do I make the Justice Department get off my back? Get the CIA to say that Watergate was a CIA operation. Now, as Mark Twain said, history doesn't repeat itself, though it does tend to rhyme. And when I see that Alex Acosta allegedly said that Jeffrey Epstein belonged to intelligence, well, that kind of has shades of the whole Watergate Richard Helms affair now, doesn't it? Yet white power understands the necessity of being able to call off the dogs when they need to. And we got to wonder, how many times has this exact scenario been carried out? See, we know about what Richard Nixon tried to do in order to get Archibald Cox off of his back. We know what Alex Acosta did in order to call the dogs off of Jeffrey Epstein. But the thing is, how many other occasions has this exact scenario played itself out? How many other times have you had the intelligence services saying, get rid of this prosecution? In his book, Dark Alliance, Gary Webb talks about Norwin Meneses, the Nicaraguan drug kingpin who was responsible for God knows how many tons of cocaine coming into the U.S., how this guy was a DEA informant, and that there had been a grand jury indictment of the man, but of course he was never arrested. Meneses was arrested by the Nicaraguans in 1991, and he was sentenced to 25 years for drug trafficking, and he was released from prison only 6 years later. Well, the big problem, of course, wasn't what the Nicaraguans had against him. It's the fact that the U.S. had been going after him for a while. There had been DEA agents who were trying to make a case on the guy. But for some damn reason, when it came time for them to actually close escrow on those investigations, for some strange reason, there always seemed to be something that came up from higher up that made it where they just couldn't actually go after the guy. And the DEA had been after Norwin Meneses since the early 80s. He was no secret to them. But to hear the feds tell the story, apparently, well, it was just some bureaucratic miscommunication. Yeah, I'm sure. This is how dangerous it is when you've got official power pulling the strings. I sincerely hope that the earlier video essay that I posted about fear of a black media is a little bit more clear. There's the rules that they tell you have to live by, and then there's just white fiat for white supremacy and its selected tools. If we're going to overthrow white supremacy, and we are, we need to understand what we're up against. We need to understand both sides of the coin, because this was not about protecting Jeffrey Epstein. Making that whole pedophile ring case go away 12 years ago, that wasn't because they were trying to do Jeffrey Epstein any favors. It was a matter of that was considered to be the most expedient and quietest way to make a problem go away. Kill the guy? Why bother? Nobody even knows about the investigation. Who cares at this point? But when the case didn't go away, and when their solution caused more problems than it solved, then it became a matter of, look, we're going to make it real flashy. Look, Jeffrey Epstein, we're going to do something about him. Whoops, he's dead. Well, that's the end of that. And you better believe these white media organizations who are saying, knock it off with the conspiracy theories, that's going to become the new news cycle. Jeffrey Epstein is officially going to be declared a non-story. Nothing to see here. They're going to take his female assistant. I forget what her name is. She was apparently the one who was helping to recruit underage girls for him. They'll probably throw it on her because she doesn't really know anything. She can deny it all day long, but before it's all over, she'll be the fall woman for it. And they'll say, well, you know what? Upon investigation, we have determined that this had nothing to do with Bill Clinton and Ehud Barak and Prince Andrew and nothing to do with Rupert Murdoch and all the rest of the well-heeled, powerful men that Jeffrey Epstein was bumping elbows with and switching and trading underage girls with. Instead, it was just Jeffrey Epstein and his perverted assistant. This is just a billionaire who was using his position, and everybody else was innocent as the wind-driven snow, and they didn't know anything and didn't do anything and didn't touch any of those girls, and you better not be insinuating that they did. And don't ask anything about the intelligence services, because Jeffrey Epstein had nothing to do with them. And don't ask why the case went away 12 years ago under the most mysterious and strangest of circumstances. Or how it is that this man allegedly tried to commit suicide a couple of weeks back, and then nobody stopped him from doing it a second time. Don't ask any questions. These are all just a bunch of unrelated coincidences, just some bureaucratic miscommunication. And this is all Jeffrey Epstein's fault and has nothing to do with anyone else. And don't worry about all of those co-conspirators that he tried to enter a plea for, that he tried to bite the bullet for 12 years ago. Don't worry about who those co-conspirators are. There was just his assistant. That's the co-conspirator. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and bury the whole Jeffrey Epstein affair with Jeffrey Epstein. And this time, it ain't going to be a question of whether or not there was some U.S. attorney who botched the cover-up. This one doesn't have to die a natural death any more than Jeffrey Epstein did.